Okay, moving on to question five. What do you see as the role of RNZFB directors in upholding United Nations agreements, including the Convention on the Rights of the Child, Declaration on the Rights of Indigenous People, Convention on the Elimination of Discrimination Against Women, and the Convention on the Rights of Disabled People? So what do you see as the role of RNZFB directors upholding United Nations agreements? And first up, we'd like Stephen to answer, please.
That's an interesting one. I mean, obviously, you concur with it. You know, people, if those are the guidelines by which we, you know, we have to operate, then that's what we have to do. Yeah, it's probably a lot more you can say. It's one of the things you either agree with it or you don't. And in my case, I agree with it. I think if there's an opportunity to highlight some of those aspects, then the Blind Foundation, or the board, I should say, should do what they can. I wouldn't like to see it restricted to just those particular groups, though. I think there's a wider group range of people, you know, that can lead to a bit of discrimination if you're not careful. That would be my only concern. But yeah, definitely, we have to go with it. Thanks.
Thank you, Stephen. Now over to you, please, Fraser.
Honestly, in terms of our constitution, it needs to reflect our adherence to all of those conventions, but it's also our board policy manual and our strategic planning and business planning processes. And I guess within that, the strategic plan and business plan needs to resource professionals within our advocacy team to make sure that we are doing everything in terms of advancing legislation that supports these conventions. And I think it's, in terms of the director's role, it's probably about as far as we can go. I guess we have an obligation to, from time to time, to consult with our membership in terms of their interpretation of those conventions. And we also, I guess, have that same obligation to other stakeholders such as volunteers and our donors and the like. And that's me on that one.
Thank you, Fraser. Now over to Paul, please.
I don't know the sort of finer nuances of those agreements, but yeah, they seem to be core tenets of both, well, what we should do as an organisation and be promoting for us, for our lives in a broader sense. So, yep, brief, but yes. Thank you.
Thank you, Paul. Chris, can we hear from you next, please?
Thank you, Nicola. And it's really interesting hearing those comments because I think we're all going to agree. But I agree because all of the groups you described are in our membership now. So we are in some way being able to offer them services that they can use or choose not to choose as they like. But I believe it should be, whilst it's in our constitution, we should also highlight it in our strategic plan so that then it can be noted by our staff and our volunteers and our donors that we, as an organisation, recognize what the United Nations is doing and the reason why they're doing it. So fully support it, and it should be highlighted in our strategic plan, not only in the constitution. That's me.
Thank you, Chris. Now to Vaughan, please.
All of these conventions express the protection and the promotion of rights of individuals and rights of populations. And as such, for our foundation to move into a modern rights-based organisation, it must uphold those rights through knowledge of the conventions. I think Fraser is right in that, to many, in a practical sense, complying with legislation that is based on those rights is really important. And my final comment is that given that probably most of us, be we current directors or those of us who are to follow, probably don't know much about the convention. So I think this is potentially a set of board development processes that also finds their way into management.
Thank you, Vaughan. And finally, Martine, please.
Having worked for the Human Rights Commission up to June this year, for me, it's a no-brainer question or answer, but I'm really glad that it did come up because personally, I had to upskill myself, not just in terms of knowledge, but also which toolkits are available, because although we say directors should know about it, how can we make implementation and monitoring practical? Because we can say, do good lip service to it without really drilling into it. So there are great toolkits around. A board needs professional development in it, and it needs to spill over in the strategic plan and action plan and to our whole organization, not just board directors.
Thank you, Martine.